Bless you, preacher. I hope you feel a little better.
Glad to have each one of you this morning. Glad to see you. We pray that the winter storm and everything will pass us. And I got a little tired of a little snow right now, but I ain't got no control over that. But they call him for Easter. No. What is it?
Not that much.
Not that
much,
man. I'd rather have it snow than ice. Right. That snow I can't get around in the ice, but I ain't too fat or good in the snow, but all right. Well, turn with me over in the book of Acts in chapter 8. Pray for me this morning. My stomach is not feeling too good right now, but the Lord will get us through it. All right. Have I got book Acts chapter 8? All right. Let's start with verse 1. Chapter 8 in the book of Acts and chapter 8 and verse 1, excuse me. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen's to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went every where preaching the word. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip said, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and they and that were lame were healed, and they, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simeon, which before time in this same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them in sorcery. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, were baptized, both men and women. Then Simeon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wandered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they went unto them, Peter and John, whom when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simeon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. That thou neither be part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be given thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the barn of iniquity." Then answered Simeon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word this morning. Now, Father, we pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you will lay upon my lips the words that you would have me to speak this morning. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will anoint it with your power. And Father, Lord Jesus, we pray for each and every soul that was represented here this morning. Father, I do not know the heart. Father, you do. And Lord, and I pray, Father, that the message will bring something out, will stir the heart and stir the soul. And Father, that where we can go out and we can explain the gospel to people, and we can tell people the testimony that we have through thee. Now, Lord, we just pray today that you'll bless the service, have your right of way here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's look up to verse 17. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simeon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." We see right here where people, individuals here, they think that they'd been saved. And I'm not saying that they wasn't saved, but it's just like today. We have some people out here that believe that they can come in, and they come into the house of God, and they get saved when they want to get saved. But we know that that's not possible. They cannot get saved when they want to get saved. It has to be the drawing of the Spirit of God. And I believe an individual where the drawing of the Holy Spirit and drawing them to God, I believe the individual will have fellowship with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost before he ever has fellowship with God. Because we know that conviction has to come upon an individual before that they could ever go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord to save them. Now, with me, and I'm going to just speak about my own individual life, but when the individuals come to my home, I was already under conviction. Why? Because I have heard the Word of God. I believe that anyone that has ever read the gospel, that has ever heard the gospel, not read the gospel, but have ever heard the gospel being preached or taught or sung about, I believe the Holy Spirit has spoke to the individual's heart. And it spoke to them in such a way that they know what's right and what's wrong. And we know that we have to get to that point in our life. And it's not the age of accountability. It's not the 12 years old is the age of accountability. That's where the Catholic has come in. That's where the Catholic has took that and has allowed that to come over into the religious faith that we have. That an individual has to be 12 years old before they can ever get saved. Well, we know that that's a lie. That's a lie from hell. Because you can get saved at 5 years old. You can get saved at 6 years old. It's the age of accountability. What is the age of accountability? When the individual has got to the point in their life that they know right from wrong. And when they know right from wrong, that they know that if what they've been doing, that at one time it didn't seem wrong about it. But it's just like an illustration that I heard somebody say one time. Says they had some children and everything. They went into a store, I believe it was Kmart, and they had a little small child with them. The child won't be 3 or 4 years old, and was walking with them and going down the toy aisle and everything. And here's that little child going away, picking up his little toy, looking at this little card, looking at this and looking at that. And they go back and then pick up that toy and then take that toy and put it in the basket. Or they take that toy, maybe put it in their pocket. But see, they have not got to the age of accountability. They have not come to the age that they know right from wrong. But the same child can go back. And a few years later, can go back and go to stand the same aisle or different aisle or another department store or something. And they can pick up that toy or whatever. And they can look at it and they can drool over it and everything.
And then he gets to thinking about, I would love to have this little son. I'd love to have this little dog. Then they go on to the, where the parents are, the mother and the father. Then they get on down there and they go to the mother and the father and say, you know, I seen a little dog up there. I'd love to have it. Would you buy it for me? Well, I seen this little car plant. I would love to have it. But would you buy it for me? See, they didn't come in to the age of accountability. See, they know the difference between right and wrong. That's the reason they put the toy back. And that's the reason they went to the mother and they went to the father and they asked the parents. See, they've got to the age of accountability and they know the difference between right and wrong.
We even have grown-ups today. They don't even know the difference between right and wrong. So it's the age of accountability is not 12. It's not 5. It's not 4. It's not 3. It's not 6, 7, 8. It is not even 14 or 15 or 18. It could be 60 years old. When the individual gets it in the mind of what they have listened to or what they have done, that they realize that it's wrong. But here, right here, we see the same story right here. They have not received the Holy Spirit. They have not received the Holy Ghost. They had told, right here and said, well, they told Saul here and they told the others here that, I don't even know what you're talking about. I ain't even heard anything about the Holy Ghost. I haven't heard anything about the Holy Spirit. Hey, it's just like the day that I got saved. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about getting saved. I didn't know anything about how to go about getting saved. I didn't know anything about how to pray. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything about the Bible or anything. But I learned all of that the very moment that I got saved. Why? Because the individual that was telling me, he told me that I was under conviction, and conviction was brought by the Holy Ghost. So I knew the Holy Spirit before I ever knew Jesus, and I did not even know it. See, then that's when he introduced me to Jesus. It's when he says, well, son, you want to die and go to hell? And I don't know nobody that wants to die and go to hell. I know you have some people out here say, well, me and my friends, we're going to hell. No, they really don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're saying. They haven't got to the age of accountability because they can't tell right from wrong. They can't discern what's the truth and what's not the truth. They don't want to go to hell. If they know anything at all about, if they've ever heard anything in church or if they've ever been to church or anything like that, they won't go to hell. I mean, I've had my own brother to tell me that. He said, Donnie, don't come over here no more. I don't want to talk to you no more. I don't want you to mention church or anything to me at all. I don't want even want you to come by here and just talk to me and everything and then have prayer with me and leave. I don't want none of that. I'm okay. I just soon die and go to hell. I mean, I'll be there with my friends and my buddies. No, they won't. They won't know them. And the thing about it is, the people I hear that tries their their best to get away from the church and get away from the people that really love them and everything. All of that's going to be brought up to them. Every song that they've ever heard that has a little portion of the gospel in it doesn't make no difference if it was a country and western song and it was some portion in it that had the gospel in it. If it wasn't nothing but the word God in it, they're going to remember it. They're going to remember that. And that's where the agony is going to come in. I believe the agony that the Bible is speaking about and over there in the book of Revelations and everything, I believe that the agony that the people is going to experience when they get in hell is the agony in knowing that they had an opportunity to get saved, they escaped the penalties of hell, but yet they did not do it. That's the agony. Saying, give me also this power. People want God's power, but they don't want nothing to do with Him. We know over there in chapter 9, in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 or 8 down there, we know where Saul, I mean, he was yet breathing out, threatening marks and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, and went unto the high priest. What did he go unto the high priest for? He went unto the high priest to get his work order for the day. What was his work order for the day? His work order was for to go out here and to have as many Christians killed and as many churches that he can persecute. That was what his orders were. That was his job. He was over the men that took it out. But Paul was just as guilty as the men that went up there and beat a Christian. He was just as guilty. Why? Because he gave the orders out. And the high priest, what the high priest did, he was just as guilty. Why? Because he gave the orders out to Saul. But then, we know the story there. We know the rest of the story. Well, as he was traveling to the next city, and Paul did not have no idea what city he was going to have to go to. That morning when he left his house and when he went to the office and when he picked up his orders and his papers for that day, he did not have no idea where he was going until he picked up his orders. And he picked up the papers. When he picked up them papers, he looked at the orders. And it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. I don't really think Paul really wanted to get on this road. But God had a plan for that road. God had a special purpose for that road that day. And that road was to bring about an individual that had backbone as a saw log. They could not move him. He would not waver one bit. And it says, and as he journeyed and he came down Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. I believe that light from heaven was the hand of God that come down through heaven and struck Paul that day.
And when he struck Paul, Paul fell right to the ground.
But then you see what happened then. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Paul knew exactly who he was. Paul says, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he stumbled, and he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Paul got saved on that road to Damascus. As soon as the hand of God come down and touched him, and he struck the earth, and when Paul arose, he was a saved man. He was a saved man. Because he asked and said, What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? He knew who he was. He knew he was Lord. And he asked him, What do you want me to do? We need to ask us the same question to ourselves. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to speak to today? Who do you want me to call today? Who do you want me to go visit today? What do you want me to do? And then he says, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We ain't gonna know what the Lord wants us to do by just sitting at home and just asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? No. What did he say? Arise. He wants to get up from our seat. He wants to get up from our comfort zone. He wants us to get up and make some type of movement. And it says, Arise and go into this city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We must arise and we must go. We must go and get in the automobile. We can look and see how much God has blessed the people here in the United States of America. We've got automobiles that we can get into. And we've got automobiles that's got heat on them. They got air conditioning on. We can go any given time and go for him. Look at how many times he went for us. But he went on the chariots, and he went on the donkeys. He went riding the animals, and he even walked where he went. We won't walk where we go. We won't even go out here and go behind the house and maybe get that donkey that we may have right there that we've had for so long and put a bridle on that donkey and everything, and then just put something on the back where we cover the skin where we maybe won't be sweating. And like, we won't even go out here and ride no donkey for him. We won't do the things like that, but he has always provided. He always has provided something for his children to do and a place to go. Arise and go into the city. If we arise and we go, he'll have the individual waiting thou for us. And he will also had already been spoken to the individual. I do not believe that God sends us anywhere that he wants us to go that he hasn't already spoke to the individual. I know sometimes we'll just go out and we may just knock on doors, just go randomly and visit somebody. And that's good too. But I believe at any time we do go out and visit somebody, I believe we need to pray about who he wants us to go and see. And not only that, when he gives us the individual's name or the individual that where we need to go to and go and visit, I believe that God has already spoke to the individual's heart. So when we get there, your spirit and their spirit is going to bear witness. Because nothing else is going to come about, and he's not going to, he's not going to be one of these types that's going to say, well, no. No, the Holy Spirit didn't already come on the scene. The Holy Spirit didn't already spoke to him about, you know you need to be in church. I can remember one time you was in church. You was a deacon. You was always in church. It wasn't a church service you went by that you weren't there. I can remember when you first got saved. You quit the job that you was on because you had to work on Wednesday and Sunday sometimes. I quit that job and I found me another job where I didn't have to work on Sunday and Wednesday. Or Sunday and Wednesday night. See, God will bring all that back up to us and he can remember. See, some things we can't remember. Well, sometimes we can't remember what happened yesterday. But God can take us all the way back to when we first got saved. We was on fire for him. We love God. We love God more then than what we do today. Why? It's because we didn't know anything at all about God and we wanted all of God's blessings. Hey, if there are people out here who say, well, you know, that's all. I don't need no more God's blessings. Well, if people feel that way, just pass them on to me. I'll take all of God's blessings he has. And did you realize that will extend our life here on earth? That will extend our life here on earth. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. See, when Paul was going out persecuting the church, he had probably just as many people probably following him as they was following the Lord Jesus. Well, when they seen what had happened, they just stood there in amazement. Speechless. They couldn't say a word. They couldn't understand it. We're the same way. We don't understand why things happen. We don't understand why it seems like that the Lord is blessing this church more. But I don't believe God is. I don't believe God blesses one church more than he does another one. If both churches is standing for the truth and standing on the word. It's the different locations that we're in. Like somebody, like I could come here and I could come here and pastor here and then some, you know, like then I could turn around and I could, the Lord can move me to another city or another state or somewhere else like it to pastor another church there. But I would not be able to go into that church and pastor that church the same I would come here and pastor this one. Because it would be a different group of people. We have different groups of people. We have different ideas. But we better make sure that our ideas and our thoughts is in alignment with God. Because if they're not aligned up with God, it's nothing that I can do or you can do. We've got to be lined up with what God wants us to do. In other words, we've got to be in the Son of God's will. How do we know that we're in the Son of God's will? I can tell you for my own life, it's when I can go to bed at night and I can lay my head down and I'm not restless and I'm not worried about this and I'm not worried about that. As far as the dying part, that was settled years ago. I never have been scared of dying since I got saved. Because I know where this old carcass of mine is going to be at. And this flesh right here is going to be laying in a wooden casket. To where, yes, my family is going to waste money on because there's nothing there, but it's just going to go back to dust. But when I have troubles, when I start wondering about this, is this right? Is this the right thing to do? Or is that the right thing to do? Or what should I do? I'm having a struggle with the Lord. Me and Him are struggling. I'm struggling with Him and what He wants me to do. And He's struggling with me. And telling me what I must do. And it's hard when you're struggling like that. Because you want to make sure that what you do is right. And you do it according to His word. And in the Son of His will. Because I believe an individual and I believe a church that's not in the Son of God's will, I believe that's when people are most miserable. I always want to be in the Son of God's will. I'm not telling you I always am, but that's what I strive to do. In the Son of God's will. And how do I know that? When I hear that small, still voice. When I hear the small, still voice. I say, son, just follow me. And everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Hearing a voice. But seeing no man. Speaking about that small, still voice. I cannot see God. But I can hear that small, still voice. You know why? I don't per se do it this way every morning. But I try my very best to get up every morning and to have my spiritual hearing aid on. Just turn them off. Don't turn them. I just turn them on. Never turn them off. The batteries never die. The batteries always plugged in. Why? Because I want to hear that small, still voice. Sometimes I can be in my study and I can be reading, or I can be working on a computer or something like that. And I can hear that small, still voice. And the next thing I know, I'm just a weeping. I'm just a crying. Why? Because God spoke to me. He didn't have to speak to me, but I'm sure am glad He did. He didn't have to save me, but I sure am glad He did. He didn't have to call me to preach. Still to this day, I don't understand why He did. Because I was like Moses. I mean, I couldn't talk. I mean, just like I've told y'all once before, I mean, I quit school when I was in the 10th grade, going through the half. I was in the 10th and a half grade. And I quit school because I just got tired of getting L's. The reason I got L's because I just didn't like getting up and standing in front of my classmates and reading. I don't know about y'all, but I had standing. They wanted us to stand up and give an oral report. And as soon as the teacher says, "Dining," I just sat there, froze. All the time. Because I know what she's going to say. Read an oral report. I didn't read it. I just sat there and took my L. Flunked. I just couldn't talk to people. And then God spoke to me one day, and He says, "I want you to go preach." I said, "Not me." Nope, not me. I'll be faithful to the house of God. I'll even take up the offering. I'll even try to sing in the choir. But I cannot stand in front of no people. I'm sorry, Lord, I could. And I mean, literally, I run from it. I did. I done everything I tried to do to get out of that. But if God won't gonna have that. God won't gonna have that. See, He brought me out of that. He brought me out of that. Bashfulness and shyness, and to where I could just stand here. But when I stand here, it's because of Him. I can't do nothing without Him. And I thank God every day for saving my soul. And I don't tell my wife as much as I should how much she means to me. But she stuck by me. She's been to places where she didn't want to go. She's been out of town, out of state. I thank God for her. I really do. Most of all, I thank God for my Savior. You know, He didn't have to die for me.
There was some folks.
verses in the Bible that at one time I stayed away after my birth. Until I come across and I read that verse, ain't no telling how many times. Until the Holy Spirit comes to me and says, I read it again. I read it one more time. And just so my eye, it opened my eyes to what to do. And it meant exactly what it was saying, but I won't grasp it what it was saying. And that's in John 15, 32 or 33, I think it's 32 or 33. Pray like no man. Greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for a friend. You know, he didn't have to lay his life down for me. But I'm glad he did. I really am glad. What did he do? It says right here, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful day. And Father, we pray, Lord, that something was said to stir our heart. And Father, yes, Lord, we have to do our part first before, Father, before you do yours. And Father, that's a commitment from us in showing, Lord, that we do love you. And Father, we do want to help you on this side of eternity. Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that there are still individuals out here that's lost. There's people that I hear have been brokenhearted. And they've lost their trust within mankind. But Father, what I pray, Lord, is that they have not lost their trust in you. Father, help us, Lord, that we may go and get the people in church that used to be there.
Yes.
And Father, that used to be here, any church where there was a member, Father, we need to do our part in helping them to get back in church, to serve you. Because, Father, the days of healing, I believe, is going to be some of the greatest days on a Christian life. Because we know, Father, it's not going to be long before you come back after the church. And I'm sure I'm glad that I'm a part of the body of Christ. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page 318.
I need thee every hour. 318. Let's everybody stand.
Thank you. You going to be all right?
Okay.
Well, we enjoyed the message this morning.
Did you slip on it?
Yeah.
Did you slip all right?
It is a tight step there. They're kind of close there. Yeah. It's supposed to be chilly this afternoon, so we've already turned the heat on in the fellowship hall. We'll be up in the fellowship hall tonight. But same time, we'll have prayer time about 20 minutes before. May God bless you.